Whether or not Social Security is around and sound in the future, it's generally not enough to live on comfortably in retirement, and we've been hearing that for decades. Just the same, many people, perhaps a third of all Americans, have nothing in the bank for later, no nest egg for retirement. Oregon State Treasurer Ted Wheeler made a big deal out of this information recently when he proposed a state-sponsored plan to help people save money for retirement. Don Bruland is an AARP Oregon volunteer and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. AARP, as I understand it, Don, is one of the operatives supporting the state-sponsored retirement plan.
Yes, it's part of a broad coalition of groups that recognize the importance of having more retirement security for seniors. And really, it's the sort of thing that we have to take into account long before a person becomes senior. And that's what this is all about.
Usually about the time the first gray hair appears. In fact, maybe even before that is a good time to start thinking about saving, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, one of the problems with currently is that nearly half of all Oregonians have no retirement plan at work. And this becomes a critical problem. I mean, there are ways for you to do it privately, but they're often confusing and inaccessible. And the other thing is that, let's be honest, inertia is one of the main controllers in most of our lives. And even though it's something we know we should be addressing, we often put it off and put it off. And so that's why having something that's easy and accessible to all is really critical.
So Treasurer Wheeler's recommendations emerge from the work of the Oregon Retirement Security Task Force, is that right?
That's correct. That was a six-member task force that had representatives from the private sector and the public sector looking at the whole issue of the importance of increasing the percentage of Oregonians who have savings for retirement. And the legislature realizes this is not simply an individual problem. This is potentially a future budget crisis for the state. When you look at the fact that over the next 15 years, the number of seniors in Oregon is likely to close to double from 502,000 to 950,000 seniors. Well, if a high percentage of those are living close to poverty, the odds of them having to utilize public services increases dramatically. So savings plan that would work for all Oregonians is not only important for individuals, I think it's quite frankly very important for the state's budget in the future.
How long did the Oregon Retirement Security Task Force hang around? How long did its work go on?
It was about a six-month period, as I recall, 6 months to a year. They worked out, looked at, heard testimony from different people, looked at what else was being done in the nation, and then came up with a set of recommendations, which are what Wheeler has been putting forth to the legislature, and they've issued their report in September 15th of this year to a interim committee where they are then discussing this. And it really the critical thing will be what happens next.
Because this is really is a matter of something for the legislature to do, is that right?
Yes. Essentially, their recommendations had several key parts. First is to establish a board with the authority to implement and manage a retirement savings program, and then to work out the details of what that might look like. And it was something that they realized needed to happen. And it's something that most Oregonians do. A fairly recent poll showed that 79% of Oregonians support the idea of a state-run retirement savings plan to help those who don't have one at work. And the critical thing is that it would be available to people in those especially small businesses and stuff that can't afford to put it up a retirement plan. It allows people to have that plan. A key aspect of it is that it is an opt-out idea. In other words, people would automatically be enrolled in it, but could opt out. And why that's important is that it's shown that in those programs that have an opt-out option, something like 87% stay in. Once again, it's that issue of inertia. If we have to opt in, inertia often stops us from getting into something, even though we know we should. But on the other hand, if we're already in it, if that money isn't in our paycheck and thus we don't count on it, we live with it. And that's how most of us, quite frankly, created some type of retirement.
So the default position would be that you would be included in the plan, and you'd have to actually make the effort to not be in it.
That's one of the major recommendations of it, is that it be on that order, because once again, like I said, inertia. Let's be honest. We all spend every cent that comes in, and in fact, we have a problem that many of us try to spend a little more than comes in.
Oh, yes, the old credit card debt.
Yes.
Right. Don Bruland is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a volunteer with AARP Oregon. We are talking about the concept of a state-sponsored retirement savings plan. That is the creation of one of the recommendations of a task force, and Treasurer Ted Wheeler is the head of much of the effort. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments. Don's pretty well versed in the subject matter here. Talk about your own retirement savings if you dare. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email us at jx@jeffnet.org or visit us on Facebook, where you can see Don's smiling face from when he arrived just a little while ago. So you touched on this, that there is some expense involved. Are there other reasons why employers don't set up savings plans for their employees, even if they're not putting any money in themselves?
Yeah, and I think an important thing in this is that there is not an expectation that employers put money in. I think it's the same sort of issue that employees have. Part of it is inertia, and part of it is they have enough other things on their docket. But the other thing is, and what the recommendations are, is that they really, as they're developing this plan, work with small businesses and with employers to make it as easy on them as possible, and to look into what are the costs of a payroll deduction process, and how might we help those employers, maybe through tax incentives and other things, to make sure that it really doesn't create a burden for those small business owners.
You mentioned the inertia. You mentioned the fact that we spend most of what we have. There does seem to be a bit of a gap here, though, because you mentioned that about half of Oregonians don't have a retirement savings plan through work. And I see that about a third of Oregonians don't have any money saved up. So there is a bit of a gap between there. So does that mean that about 20% of Oregonians are actually saving some money for retirement all by themselves?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, some people are, but I'm going to be real frank with you. Most of the people who are also ones who have other methods of savings and are, quite frankly, better off in terms of their economic literacy, their realization and of what they're going to need in the future. And this is going to, I think, be especially important for people who are lower moderate income and who, once again, just don't get around to it. So not everybody is unprepared, but unfortunately, more and more people are unprepared.
So it's generally people of means anyway. If you're going to have money in the bank, in your own savings, you probably also have a 401k?
Yeah, I think that's often the case, that those are the people who get around to doing this. And quite frankly, it's because they're looking at tax issues and other things, and this is a smart way for them to go. But if that takes some effort, that's often confusing.
I can't remember actually hearing anybody ever say, gee, Social Security seems fine. This is enough. I'm doing fine on Social Security. It's really not a great deal of money, right?
Well, for most people, Social Security, first of all, was never meant to be the only thing for retirement. It was meant to be a basic help to and assistance to people as part of, you know, they talk about three or four-legged stool to help people retire. It gives people a minimal income, and a large portion of those people who are in Social Security are on a very minimal amounts of Social Security. $1,000 or less dollars a month. And that's not enough to really live any the type of life that most of us would hope to live after a lifetime of work.
I noticed that Ted Wheeler, who again is the Oregon State Treasurer, who made the announcement about the idea of a state-sponsored retirement plan, bandied some figures out about what the recommended levels are of money to have upon retirement. What kinds of how much money should you have based on your final salary, I guess?
I fear I'm not aware of that. But what I do know is that in our current situation, when you look at how much you have and if you're going to have it last you your lifetime, and this is one of those critical issues that people don't think about. They think about, well, I'm going to retire and I need money for the next 10, 15 years. Well, the truth is if you retire at 60, 65, there's a good chance you're going to live 20, 30, maybe 30 or more years. And so most of us run out of that. And that doesn't mean that people will all save as much as they should or as much to have that retirement. But once again, I don't think we should think of this as a cure-all. This isn't a magic bullet that will solve all of the problems. But it will mean that for people, it will solve part of the problems, and it may not stop them from finally needing services, but it may postpone that and increase the length of time that they can be as independent as possible.
I'm looking here, and I think the figure that was mentioned was generally you want to have about 8 times your last year's salary salted away. So do the math in your own life and think, oh, boy, as I did, and think, okay, not close to retirement at this point. Don Brulin is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a volunteer with AARP Oregon. We're talking about the concept of a state-sponsored retirement plan for Oregonians that is being discussed now. Oregon State Treasurer Ted Wheeler at the front of the effort to get the legislature to consider this. Join us on the Exchange with your questions or comments. Visit us on Facebook, too, and see Don. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760, or 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what does the state-sponsored part of this mean?
Well, I think this is an important thing because people worry about that. Is this going to be a burden on taxpayers and stuff? And the real thing that came out strong in the recommendations that this should be self-sufficient and that, in fact, it should minimize the risk to the state and the state's taxpayers. So the assumption is that this program, which would be managed for all Oregonians who are in it, would collect as part of the money fees that would help defer that. You know, a certain percentage would go into it. For any of us, as we put in money into our own private retirement plan, there's a portion. So it is not something, and I think people often worry, let's be frank, because of things such as PERS. But in those cases, it was because contractually we made statements that that's a pension plan, and we said, we will guarantee you this. This doesn't guarantee somebody anything. What it guarantees, one, is that there will be help some save, and two, that it will be professionally managed, and it will not be at an exorbitant rate in terms of those management costs. Because people don't realize, you know, the 0.5% increase in your management costs cost you an awful lot of money over the length of a retirement plan. So keeping some of those costs to the minimal, which I think the state would be in a position to do, and whether it's going to be managed by a public entity or contracted out to a private, they can have that power. That's that power of a large organization versus us doing it independently.
And you just hit on one of the major differences of our time as we talk about retirement plans is the defined benefit that a pension
right.
represent, meaning you know what you're going to get out of it, versus the current vogue, which is 401k plans and the like, defined contribution. You choose what goes into that plan, and your employer may help you with that, but you're not guaranteed you're going to get a pile out at the back end.
It moves the risk from the employer to the employee.
Well, and it looks like at this moment there's no going back. So we're talking about something like a 401k plan for the state-backed plan?
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. And once again, making it easy, making it portable so that if as you move from one job to another, because most people do move between jobs and employers over their lifetime, and that's becoming increasingly common, this can move with you and you can continue to participate in it wherever you're employed in the state.
Is the idea to make it cost-free to the employer?
It is to make it cost-free, and that very much the task force was concerned about the burden and the cost to the employers. So that's been an important part of the conversation. So they're working, and that's one further study to say, how do we do that? How do we make it as easy as possible for the employer as well as for the employee?
Would it end up doing the same maneuvers that 401ks do, the whole it's pre-tax dollars, so the money that you shuffle into this plan?
Yes, that is clearly the idea of it. And quite frankly, there's a lot of details that need to be worked out. And really the next step is hopefully for the legislature to, in effect, create a board that would manage and look further into this, and there will be some cost in that initially to fund that board, to do the legal research, to do the financial research, to look at what other states and other places are doing to figure out what that best plan should look like.
Listeners, give us some of your ideas on what you'd like to see if there were a state-sponsored retirement plan for Oregonians. Our phone numbers again on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 around the region, and the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You did mention PERS, the Public Employee Retirement System. Some bad feelings about that because all levels of government in the state of Oregon, other than federal, are hamstrung a bit in their spending because they have to put so much into the PERS system for several years of shortfalls there in order to match the amount going in with what eventually has to be paid out. But this would be separate. If we're talking about a state-sponsored retirement, but this is not putting just folks who are not state workers or public workers into PERS.
I'm glad you brought that out because that's a very critical part. This is not a pension plan. This is a plan just like your 401k
or 403b if you're a nonprofit.
Yeah. Once again, it's your plan. It's for you. It's just that the state makes it easier. And I think this is a key concept, too, that I always like to think of. Make it easy for people to do the right thing. I think it's a key concept for any program that works well is that you make it as easy as possible for us to do the right thing. We often know what we should do, but once again, we don't get around to doing it.
So would these accounts then, I mean, because I know people, obviously, when the joke during the recession was that my 401k turned into a 50k.
Yes.
So will, and it wasn't a very funny joke either, but so will the state be managing the investments? Is that the idea, envisioned? Granted, the tail's
got to be
worked out. Well,
the state will have it professionally managed, whether it's managed by people from the state or they contract out. There are a lot of details that still have to be worked out, and those are those are important details. So that's why it's important, quite frankly, that this next legislative session put together a board so we can get started on it. Because those numbers I talked to you about are not getting better. The number of people that are going to need something is increasing. So putting it off, procrastinating, once again, that inertia issue, really just deepens the problem for all of us.
So the state would spend a few dollars to administer and set up, but not be spending the money here because they're getting people to get their own money aside so they don't have to spend state money on them later.
It would be essentially an investment in the future, which is often, quite frankly, hard for legislators to do. And I'm not knocking legislators on that because there are often so many pressing needs that you want to meet those needs first. But the truth is any business knows that you have to invest in that future, and you have to take those investments which will help you in the longer run. Think about it for a homeowner. It's the whole deal about going through and having your place insulated and all of those sort of things. It's often you think, well, should I do it? Well, then when you look over the long term, it's one of the better things you can do.
Because you're spending money on insulation up front, you're spending money on your fuel costs ongoing. Is there a model for this in another state? Is there a state-sponsored retirement plan that anybody has at this point?
Well, actually, at this point, there are something like, I think it's 13 or 17 states that are examining it. There isn't one yet, and in some ways, we would be a leader if we were to institute this. But there are several that are looking at it very seriously, California for one, and a number of other states that are also looking into it, because this is a nationwide problem. But I think it's maybe an especially a problem for states like Oregon, which have a fairly small tax base, and thus paying for services and stuff are very difficult. So something like this that will help ease that future burden, quite frankly, you could say is not just an investment in those people. It's an investment in our schools and all of the other types of things that utilize those state resources.
Wow. As Oregon has learned over the last 20 years, as the whole property tax system changed, that when there's less local money going into public schools, the state has to put the money in. Everything else has to come down, and you get changes like we've had to state police and to higher education and lots of differences there. Don Brulin, thanks so much for outlining this. And obviously, the 2015 legislature elected this fall will be the ones to deal with the idea of a state-sponsored retirement plan.
Yes.